Have you ever wondered how taboo, shame, and lack of good sexual education have stripped away elements of pleasure in childbirth and parenting that are essential to loving, intimate relationships? Join me for another episode of our Orgasmic Birth Podcast, Pleasure in Pregnancy, Birth, and Parenting, as we break down and heal barriers and open the door to more love and intimacy in birth and life. Thought about preparing for birth in every situation so your voice and choice can be heard and honored? What if to safely give birth, you or your baby need a cesarean birth? I believe that every birth can and should be gentle, sacred, and have elements of pleasure and love. That's why we're doing a mini series right now about cesarean birth, so that no matter what birth asks of you, you are positively prepared to have a gentle, loving birth in any setting. My guests today are joining us to talk about the magnificent cesarean birth. Hi, I'm Deborah Pascali-Bonaro, founder and director of Orgasmic Birth and host of the Orgasmic Birth podcast. My guests today, Nicole Heibretter and Amir Niromond, are really dear to me. Nicole has been a longtime friend and colleague. She's worked as a labor and delivery nurse in various capacities for the last 13 years in Washington, D.C., and has been attending births as a doula for over 17 years. That's how we connected so long ago. She's worked in D.C., New York City, San Francisco, Sumatra, Bali, and Uganda. And she's also spent the last 10 years as a Dona International approved birth doula trainer and is a Dona International trained birth and postpartum doula, among other things that I'll have Nicole tell about herself and introduce Amir. But I just want to say personally, having you both here today is just near and dear to my heart because we knew each other way back as you were beginning your doula career. We now share our passion for helping to advocate for all people, for all doulas to make choices. And so having you both here to share your journey, just wow. So thank you. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Deborah, for having us. And it's very poignant and very special for me. As you said, you were part of my initiation into the birth world, part of my entrance into that career. And now that I'm on the other side of the coin, it's been really meaningful for me to share that with you all these months and share the journey. It's like, yeah, I feel very tender in my heart just saying that.
Well,
but
yes,
yeah, so I've worked in birth as a doula, as a nurse, as a birth doula trainer, also taught at Johns Hopkins Nursing School for a while. In a wild twist of fate, now after all those years, now I'm on the other side of the coin as the pregnant person. And I'm really trying to honor that, you know, to feel into the experience, not from an intellectual knowledge base, but really from my heart, from my body. So that's kind of, I would say that's also my bio, where I'm at right now. But yeah, and I want my partner to also be known.
Yeah. Hello. First and foremost, I would say students now of the birthing world and, you know, tutor at home that is teaching me everything all the time. So that's wonderful. And yeah, and in my own life, my career, I'm a fuel cell scientist. And then my passion and hobby is community farming. I have a community farm and yeah, and it's a lot about, you know, healing ourselves, building community and growing food and using food as a means for healing work and community work. So I think those pieces also somehow come into for us into the, yeah, into the family part and into the birthing part and the container that's holding us.
Yeah. So beautiful. And thank you for both sharing. And, you know, we often, that saying, and Nicole, you probably have used it too, that we birth the way we live, right? So like bringing who we are in every aspect of who we are is really important in how we begin to view birth and prepare for birth. So knowing a little bit about each of you and now your own personal journey being pregnant, do you want to share a bit about your journey and where you're at?
Yeah, well, in the present moment, I'm 28 weeks. In fact, actually this weekend, I both entered the third trimester and turned 44 on the same day. So that was a little bit of a wild and wonderful birthday present. Amir and I have been trying for about a year and a half to conceive and had an experience where I was very fertile. I kept getting pregnant very easily, but then having miscarriages. So none of those pregnancies made it this far. So it was a beautiful birthday gift to just be feeling very healthy and very strong in my heart, strong in my body, and entering the third trimester for the first time for me.
Yeah. And how are you feeling, Amir?
Yeah, I feel that that's very good in all of that. And that fertility is also a testament to my power. So I just wanted that to be known for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I'm really grateful. It's, you know, we had a couple of miscarriages and we've known each other for the same time and same duration, a year and a half. And that's been a big journey of also getting to know each other more, that the ups and downs of it has been like really difficult, but of a good lesson. And I'm really grateful that we have amazing support with our community, with our therapist. And yeah, that has brought us a lot closer and feeling a lot more solid together. So that really feels good. Like feels like we're on really solid grounds. And yeah, I'm really grateful about that. So yes, everything about the pregnancy and also about our connection also feels really good. So
yeah. Yeah. I think neither of us take it for granted that we went through such a fertility journey and it just brought us closer together, because we both know that there are, for some couples, that's not the case. Repeated loss, having DNCs, having even more invasive surgeries, they're hard. It's hard on a union in addition to having its own individual difficulties. So I think we both feel very grateful that for us, it just kind of brought us closer together and made it more solid. Like, no, like I really want to stay with this person. I want to be with this person above and beyond all of this.
Yes. Well, thank you for giving voice to that. And I am sorry for your losses. I know having journeyed with you, each loss is really hard. And to know how you've worked individually and together is such an inspiration to see you today, but also for everyone listening who may also be on their own journey of fertility or may have experienced prior loss and are pregnant and they're listening along. So thank you for sharing all of what that's been to bring you today and third trimester. So your birth is kind of coming pretty soon when you think about it, right? Like, it's hard to believe.
Very soon. I know that for me, I woke up, you know, the day of my birthday, there's, you know, there's messages, there's phone calls, and there's just our connection. We went and got a massage together and went to a hot spring. It was just, it was so lovely. And yeah. And then it was the next day after, I was like, oh, but it's like right around the corner, you know, like there's all the nesting, there's all the things that need to happen. But I also feel, you know, we'll do it, we'll get to it, and trying not to be, yeah, too crazy or too wound up about that. But it really is kind of, it's so, what's the phrase? I think there's a phrase I've heard about parenting, that the days are long, but the years are short. And I've come to learn that I think pregnancy has also its own strange timing pattern, that it when you're in that first trimester and you're feeling so nauseous and so fatigued, just a deep fatigue that is like nothing you can really imagine before you actually experience it, those days seem so long. And the waiting to get out of that discomfort can seem very long. And then now that I'm out of it, it seems like, oh, but there's only a little bit of time left of this pregnancy. So it is the way that time passes is very interesting in pregnancy.
Yeah. And I really love how you express that. And I know too, the title of what we thought to talk about is The Magnificent Cesarean. And I want to remind everybody, right? You've worked as a nurse in labor and delivery. You've been a doula. You train doulas for so many years. So take us up to that journey and what you're envisioning for your birth and how these decisions are coming and feeling for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, thanks for that question. You know, I will be honest and say that that has been a very difficult emotional journey for me. I feel a little emotional just speaking that out loud, but just, you know, after 17 years of being at these births of various kinds, it's difficult to not in the back of your mind, a little part of you, be imagining what your own birth might be like, and thus kind of creating an attachment and a story, you know, to what that is. And I would say before our fertility journey kind of had its ups and downs, I would have said to you that I'm 100% having a home birth. I know who my midwife is. I know who my doula would be. You know, I felt a vision of all of that, a very, very, very clear vision of all of that. And then it was after the, forget which miscarriage, but at some point in time, it became clear that my uterus would benefit from having what's referred to as a myomectomy, which is a surgery to remove different kinds of fibroids that were in and around my uterus. So there were some that were inside the uterus, there were some that were in the uterine wall, and then there were some that were also outside of the uterus, in addition to a little bit of endometriosis. And I got a first opinion from an OB doctor that's a friend of mine, and they explained to me that more than likely, I would probably continue the pattern of getting pregnant very easily, but continuing to have miscarriages if I didn't have this surgery in order to remove the fibroids and remove the endometriosis. But then they also shared with me that because of the way the fibroids are within the wall and the location of the fibroids, that it would also mean that I would probably eventually have to have a cesarean for my birth. The first time I heard that, I really wasn't able to hear it. I really was like, well, that's not an option. Like, I don't want that. And then I think I proceeded to get like three or four more opinions, like to have three or four more doctors look at the ultrasound and the MRI images just to see if they had a different opinion. But in the end, it was very unanimous. Every doctor that looked at the images right away said almost verbatim what the other provider had said, right? Mm-hmm. There wasn't a lot of wiggle room. And I had to take several weeks, maybe 2.5 months or so, to really be able to let go of my image of birth, of my attachment to having a home birth, of my desire for that, before I could fully really get in alignment with having the uterine surgery and accepting that that would mean then having a scheduled cesarean. But it's wild how it all played out. I'll save that story, but there were some delays in surgery. There was some other things that were happening. But it was all kind of beautiful in how it unfolded, because in the end, I really do feel fully aligned with what happened. I'm so grateful that I had the surgery to have the fibroids and the endometriosis removed. We got pregnant literally right away. Our surgeon had explained, we have to wait 3 months. We waited 3 months and then immediately got pregnant and had fun doing that. And it was beautiful. And now I'm working with a midwife who is an incredible midwife. So she's doing all of my prenatal care. And we've met a wonderful obstetric surgeon who just is a very kind person. And they are supportive of the midwife coming into the operating room. So we'll have that sort of continuity of care with her being with us now that we're journeying all of our prenatal time with her. Because as a doula, and also I would say as a labor and delivery nurse, I know how important having an empowered cesarean can be for people who venture into those cold, bright operating rooms. So I've talked with our surgeon about that, and I've advocated for things that would make me feel more comfortable. And he was really open to anything that I desired.
I'm so happy to hear your journey, right? Both the challenge, and I can really hear that, you know, the kind of changing and shifting your vision, but also putting together such an important team that's listening and honoring to you, and that you'll have your midwife in continuity of care. But I'd like to hear, Amir, too, this has been a journey for you in shifting kind of visions and creating a team and a birth vision. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, so obviously I didn't know much about this world, of the birth world and this cesarean rate and the importance of home birth to the extent, like maybe a little bit on the surface, but I kind of got to learn a lot more through knowing Nicole. And then seeing her going through that journey obviously was very difficult. And, you know, just I guess my job was to not try to fix things and just like really be more of a listening board and then help in sometimes in decisions that, you know, sometimes you think if you know more, it's better. But sometimes it's more difficult because you have too many doctors talking to, and every decision is, okay, I talked to 5 midwives and 3 OB doctors, and then you need to integrate all of that. And you have so much opinion about everything, and you have so much vision about everything. So it's not always easier. That's kind of, I learned that early, that, oh, okay, I thought this would be easy. This is okay. It's quite a project. But you know, the clarity on your piece came, in my opinion, more after our second miscarriage. Because still before the second miscarriage, we were feeling that, okay, a little bit maybe it still works. You know, it's everything's a probability, right? Okay, yeah, the probability is higher than. So, okay, do we want to give it a second chance? And once the second miscarriage happened, then that was the shift. It's like, okay, no. Like now I just care about having the baby and about, okay, now let's shift into what a, you know, supportive cesarean looks like and what's the aftercare and what's the postpartum and, you know, who's the best surgeon and how do we get there? And so there was kind of then a lot of other factors started rolling in. And I think the emotional piece also kind of shifted. So, yeah, I feel like that was a big, big turning point after the second miscarriage that we were like really went on the cesarean bandwagon and like really being grateful, like really being able to fully appreciate the pregnancy and not like really having something lingering on the back that, oh, but this is what I wanted. No, this is what we wanted, this kiddo. And also having appreciation for the amazing surgeon who did the myomectomy and, you know, was Nicole's friend, and yeah, Dr. Gabby is just amazing. And then also all the, you know, everything that we have for our care. So there is definitely a lot to be appreciated for and a lot of support. So yeah, that's how I feel. It's bringing a lot of beauty to us. So we're really happy about it, I would say.
Yeah, I think both of us felt like something that I do feel we did quote unquote right, that I would try to recommend to others, is really, really giving space for the grief, not pushing that grief down, but really being able to have open and honest conversations about that grief and about that sorrow and about that longing for something that now will not come to pass. Mm-hmm. And I think that we just gave it so much space and did rituals around it and acknowledged it amongst us, amongst our community, amongst our friends, such as yourself, that were witnessing and supporting us. And then it was, I don't know if it was easier, but, and then it just felt a natural shift into kind of the gratitude that we're on the path and it looks different, but we're on it together. Mm-hmm. And there are other beautiful things to also focus on and hold on to.
Yeah, I want to share something as on what you said, if that is okay. And, you know, as Nicole shared, she's both a birth doula and death doula. So she kind of works on the both transition sides. And it's fascinating how these two are flip sides of a coin. And, you know, really through my journey with her, I know this is about birth, but it's as much about death. They're kind of so related. And, you know, one practice that we had, which is kind of related to what you're saying, is that, you know, from the beginning, we did not hide the pregnancy. You know, a lot of people say, oh, don't say anything in the first 3 months, because then the baby, you know, might, you know, you might lose the baby. And then, you know, like, I don't know, like, then you lose the baby. Yeah, but then, yes, and that happened to us twice. But that's even, you know, just being real with it. And then also knowing people and having the community to support us. And, you know, that's like really being in the grief helps, like really moving through it, rather than just, okay, something that no one knows, it didn't happen, let's not talk about it. So I think like that was also an element that we really fully lived it. It's like, yeah, this is life. That's life.
We're being witnessed by everyone. We're sharing it.
And it might die. And this is, I think, then every day is like that. So, yeah, I just wanted to name that I think I appreciate you bringing a lot of that. So definitely you. So it was really helpful in that sense. So being able to digest it and move through it.
Yeah, beautiful point. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's so important how you're talking about having your community and sharing and being witnessed and allowing that grief as a process and a learning in so many ways. And it brought you to where you are today. I love to hear that you can come to the gratitude, right? And really preparing. And I love that you wrote me and said the magnificent cesarean. Can you take me there? What are you visioning now? What are you preparing? What do you see for your birth that's going to really honor both of you and your baby in a gentle, loving way?
Yeah, well, there's a desire to have it be magnificent. So that's one thing is, I don't know if this will make sense, but for me, having the courage to even say that out loud and to have that intention is not easy, but I'm there and I do have that intention and I want it to feel like a wonderful experience for me, a wonderful experience for Amir, and a wonderful experience for us as a couple becoming a family. So I feel that, you know, that I would say, you know, that's like the guiding light behind any and all decisions that we make about anything. So that's sort of one thing, is just putting that intention out there. Other things that we have planned, and I'll give an example. If I were planning on a vaginal birth, I previously had thought for myself, I'd have this amazing blessing with all of my midwife and doula friends. And, you know, it would be this just exceptionally witchy pleasure, you know, priestessy type experience. And I think when I originally thought, well, I have to have a scheduled cesarean, I didn't actually think then I would do something like that. Cause I thought, well, you know, I'm just going in on a scheduled date. And it's like, I not only removed from myself the fantasy of the birth, but I removed from myself the fantasy of other things that went along with that. So part of kind of this healing journey we've been on has been to reclaim those things and to say, no, you know, it's I'm still going to be going through a type of birth and a type of major emotional, hormonal, psychological, physical transition. And we as a couple as well. So we do already have a blessing for Amir and I planned with our community to circle around us and bless us and to witness us and expressing our hopes, our dreams, and our fears as we enter into parenthood and go into our birthing situation. So that's something that we have planned that I'm really excited about and I think will be beautiful. It's a little unusual. We live on a community farm in rural Canada, just outside of Vancouver. And there are three other women that live on the farm with me that, you know, in many ways will be around this child a lot. So we've also envisioned ways that we, as a sisterhood, that we, as a collective of women, will be, you know, kind of honoring the transition that we're going through. So here, just together, the four of us will do a belly and a breast casting and some art and some rituals around the farm, around the land together. So we have that planned as well. And we've also done considerable planning for our postpartum period because we know that we're having a cesarean. It's important for me to have a little bit of extra support around our home. And we felt that a postpartum doula would support us really well in that. And it's not easy finding one in this rural area where we live. So I spent a lot of time looking at different websites, talking to different people. And actually through word of mouth is eventually how I found a wonderful postpartum doula. So we're really happy about that. We've also planned for ourselves to have a very nutritive, nourishing postpartum meal plan. It'll look different than what it might look like in the city because it's, again, we live so rurally. Is that even a word? because we live in such a rural place. So I've also thought a lot through that, you know, like, so I know I want to have a meal train. I know that's such a psychologically and spiritually important thing for people that are new parents to be on the receiving end of, because I have been a part of coordinating those for so many friends over the years. And it's been unanimous from all of them that they've said that it was, you know, it was worth its weight in gold. And it was critical for them in those first 4 weeks to have something like that. So we've spent a lot of time kind of masterminding, like, well, how could this work? And what can we do? So just again, like, no, you know, putting a desire out there, and then being very intentional and in how we could fulfill that desire. And then one of the other things, but the last thing I'll mention in this interview, has really just been finding a supportive surgeon, a supportive provider that we met with him for our first visit, which of course, you know, as an American, I just assumed is going to be like a 6 to 15 minute quick visit. And it ended up being like an hour and a half of talking and relating and connecting, and was just lovely, right?
Yeah, it was very special. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just really lovely. And talking very openly with him about my desires and my concerns. So putting it out there, what are some of the things that I would like? So I would like to be able to play my own music in the operating room. They don't have clear drapes in their hospital, so I just at least want the surgical drape to be lowered so that I can see my baby coming out of me, that I can witness that, the first cry, the first gasp of air. That's something that's really important for me to be able to visually see myself. Also, potentially Amir being able to cut the umbilical cord, I think is really crucial for partners or family members of any kind when they accompany someone in the operating room. I know as a nurse back at my old hospital, we were very encouraging of that.
Which I don't have the guts to do, but yeah, go ahead.
You might. You might. You don't know. So that also wanting and making sure that the NICU team, which I know, of course, needs to do a brief assessment on my baby, that really will be very brief, and that the vitamin K shot will be delayed until the end of my first 2 hours postpartum, such that then the baby can really just be wrapped and brought over to Amir and I in the operating room while I will still have the surgery, closing my uterus, closing my abdomen. So again, any of these things that I said to the surgeon, he just was like, yeah, sounds great. Okay. Well, that sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Okay. Yeah. Why not? You know, let's try for it. So there just was a lot of openness. Additionally, I wanted, and he even wanted, for me to meet with the anesthesiology team before the surgery so that I also really know who they are and feel very comfortable with what they're going to be, you know, how they're going to manage me and my body, you know, under their care in the operating room as well. So it just, everything in the conversation just felt like a win, a win, a win, a win. There was nothing that I desired that was particularly difficult for him. Even our desire to, for example, bring the placenta home and plant it here on our farm underneath a tree, doing a ritual again with our community at some point this summer. He was like, yeah, great. That's wonderful. You know, just remind me the day of so that I don't forget. You know, there was no pushback or discouraging remark or anything. I felt very respected and very seen as an autonomous woman, as an autonomous person. Yeah. What did you like about him?
I just like everything that you're doing. Yeah. Around it. So specific. It's, yeah.
Yeah. But you also liked him as a, yeah.
Well, I was listening for you and him talking for 1.5 hours about medical systems and birth and everything. Yeah. So, and I really enjoyed it, and I really mm-hmm. love how clear you are about what you want, and you have your voice, and I'm more of a yes man.
No, well, I don't think that that's true. But I would say yes, if that's something that I could, you know, that I could recommend or encourage other pregnant people to do, is to try to have that clarity about their wants and their needs and their desires, and then to verbalize from a place of clarity to their provider. I actually really think that inner state of clarity is very important in the conversation.
Yeah, is that it's yes, 100% to all of the medical pieces that Nicole says. And I think there's also a big piece around the community and support, because Nicole has moved here from DC to Vancouver, and here is my community. So it's kind of, I feel it's more on my plate to make sure that, you know, we can mobilize people and things, you know, like that's the piece that I can take. And, you know, with the meal train, okay, what is realistically, given the operations that we have here at the farm, that, you know, we make sure that there is food here and there is backup food here and there is backup for that backup. And, you know, and there is, you know, if you have, you need something, you know, we have people who acknowledge that you can reach out to us. And so there is kind of like really the support network being in place, and
before we need it.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
That's, I think, one thing that I learned through the gazillion workshops that we did, was to anticipate the needs, not trying to ask that, okay, what do you need? But like really just handing in the water and handing in the tea and taking the baby and just like, and educating myself to be able to do that, and our community, that people want to help, people love to help.
Yes.
But way easier to, you know, not coming here and say, what do I do? It's like, okay, you come and just check the kitchen and see what needs to be done.
Right. You know,
do also the mental work. It's not just the physical work, but also, the distributing the mental work too.
Well, you gave us so many good tips. I know people that are listening, probably like me, are just really in awe of your journey and the way you really have created community, set your boundaries, expressed your needs, and that you really sat with your obstetrician to make sure that all your voice was heard. And how beautiful, honored, right? I started this out by saying voice and choice is so important in whatever birth asks of you. And so I just want to wish you both a really magnificent, beautiful, love-filled cesarean birth. And I hope that you'll join us to share after your baby moon, after taking plenty of time to be nourished and nurtured, to come back and tell us, you know, what your feelings were from the birth, and hopefully share your magnificent story.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, you know, like what I'm thinking is that you plan things with baby, but things never go according to plans. So I'm sure that take two would be okay. We planned all of these, but let's see.
Yeah. Let's see.
What the kid wants.
Yes. And that's life, right? That is life. So again, thank you so much. Thank you to all our listeners. Please make sure you stay tuned for part two, but I hope that you'll take lots of wisdom away and let us know your comments, your feedback. We always love to hear from you. And we hope you'll join us next week on the next episode of the Orgasmic Birth Podcast. Thanks for listening to the Orgasmic Birth Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to learn more about pleasure in birth, parenting, and birth work, visit orgasmicbirth.com/more for my free gifts. And please leave a review about your experience. Reviews help us to reach more people, and please subscribe.